Our scripture selection is from Baruch. I don't think I've ever preached from Baruch before. It's a very short book, and Baruch is a contemporary of prophets like Jeremiah and Isaiah, and he's talking about the hope of exiles returning to Jerusalem after being expelled by Babylon. So he's speaking to exiles. Interesting, in the song we just read that Come Thou Long Expected Jesus, he was talking about us making a way for God and pulling, like making a flat path for God to come to us. And I think this scripture kind of reverses that and talks about how God will make a path for us to come to God. So interesting how there's this kind of mutuality and this reciprocity, I think, that the song spoke to me about in terms of this scripture. Let's go ahead and read it. It's printed in your bulletin if you would like to follow along. Chapter 5, verses 1 through 9. Take off the garment of your sorrow and affliction, O Jerusalem, and put on forever the beauty of the glory of God. Put on the robe of righteousness that comes from God, and put on your head the diadem, the crown of the glory of the everlasting. For God will show your splendor everywhere under heaven. For God will give you evermore the name righteous peace, godly glory. Arise, O Jerusalem, stand upon the height. Look toward the east and see your children gathered from west and east and at the word of the Holy One, rejoicing that God has remembered them. For they went out from you on foot, led away by their enemies, but God will bring them back to you, carried in glory, for as on a royal throne. For God has ordered that every high mountain and the everlasting hills be made low, and the valleys filled up to make level ground, so that Israel may walk safely in the glory of God. The woods and every fragrant tree have shaded Israel at God's command. For God will lead Israel with joy in the light of his glory, with the mercy and righteousness that come from him. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. It's a good scripture, right? It's like a happy scripture. The world is not crashing down in this scripture. I saw this meme on the internet, and it was from this girl or young woman who often posts kind of like depressing things, but funny things too. So I really like following her, but it was kind of no surprise, this picture with words that I saw. And it was like, things not to say to a person with mental illness, or struggling with mental illness. It said, don't say things like, it's all in your head, or you just want attention, or you sound crazy. Stop complaining. Things could be worse. You're just being negative. You just need to get out more. And so, you know, I agree that many of those things are kind of pretty tone deaf, pretty off or insensitive to a person that's struggling. And most of them ultimately kind of brush off a person's concerns or problems that they're facing. But I think sometimes when we get these like long lists of what not to say, we can get scared to say anything if there are no suggestions of what kinds of things to say. And I think that silence can be harmful too sometimes. But I get the message of the meme, listen to a person. There are no simple answers. You don't know what it's like for this person to live their life and to walk in their shoes. True. Are we ever allowed, though, to challenge a person to practice positivity? I mean, We can do whatever we want. We are allowed to do anything. But I think most of us are trying to do what's right. The scripture says, put on a robe of righteousness. Isn't it right to say, take off the garment of your affliction? We can say it without expecting it is instantaneous or easy, or that somehow a person has fallen short for not doing this before. Can we say it even with the understanding that chronic depression is a real condition that people can't just snap out of, or that one's depression doesn't come from some sort of moral failing of an individual? I don't think we should walk on eggshells around people either. I mean, I'm kind of a sensitive person myself, so I get it. You might worry about somebody says something and then you think of it over and over again in your head. And when a person just said it in passing and forgot about it. But on the post, somebody suggested, we could say, if you need anything, let me know. I'm here to talk to you. And so, I mean, that's fine. That's good. But I don't know. I don't think a person that's really struggling is always going to take the initiative to reach out and make somebody care about their issues. But I also think people should not expect to be chased. That no one chases any of us begging to be friends. But Jesus does keep offering us opportunities for hope. Another suggestion was that we should pray for them, which is good, but we also need to respond directly and openly to people, to be active and overt in addressing those who we care about. We have to speak our love and listen our love. And I saw another meme that kind of responds to this issue, and it said, it's okay to pray and go to therapy. It's okay to go to church and get a therapist, amen, that they aren't in competition, that we need spiritual and mental health care to work together. But yeah, I think people need to hear that you care about them. That they need to hear that God cares about them. That they need you to listen more than you talk and to receive more than you assess. Can we tell them to arise? Can we tell each other to arise? Can we tell ourselves to arise? Can we tell people not to be so hard on themselves? Can all of us benefit from strengthening our practice and habit of gratitude? Can we encourage people to keep on fighting? And can we affirm the strength and favor in God's eye? Can we do that for others and ourselves? And now it's definitely different when you are dealing with a debilitating mental illness. I understand it's not simple to do anything. But we don't throw up our hands and give up either, do we? So it's not a simple process sometimes to take off this garment of your affliction. In fact, it's nothing like just taking off a coat. And yet, we shall not submit to endless sorrow. No matter how lost or isolated we might feel, shall we not resist submission to sorrow and solicit the sanctuary of our sovereign God? Shall we not lift our eyes up to the hills from whence cometh our help? And so maybe it helps for us to just imagine, to just envision ourselves taking off a heavy coat and stepping into the light of God. It helps to remember that sorrow is just something we wear sometimes. It's not really who we are. It doesn't have to be. The scripture tells us that we don't have to be in a sunken, sorrowful place, but that following God, we can clothe ourselves with majesty. And so I like the idea that I can envision myself removing a heavy garment of sorrow. It makes me feel lighter when I do that. And there are a lot of things we can do when the winter blues or depression or sorrow hit us. And I'm not a mental health care professional, but there are some around that are always good to talk to. So that's the first thing I want to mention. But there are other ideas I have, even as a non-healthcare professional. So fighting for a spirit of joy and gratitude within yourself is a spiritual practice. And there are many ways that we can do this. What lifts your spirit? And we've talked about prayer already, but how about music? And how that has the power to recalibrate your energy. And sometimes I come in here like, I don't know if I could preach today. Is my energy right? I don't know. But my coat is a little heavy. But then we sing a few songs and I feel cleansed. I feel lifted. Or if I'm not here, I might like take a ride in the car. And if I'm a little upset, and trust me, pregnancy hormones have been really kicking me these last few weeks. But I'll turn up the music and I'll feel powerful. Exercise helps us feel better. Eating healthy. And also identifying any kind of negative thought patterns that we have. Catching them in the moment. Trying to reframe them and changing the way we're thinking about them. Saying affirmations to yourself, about yourself. Actually saying out loud, you are strong, you are courageous, peaceful, empowered, competent, beautiful. Or about another person, if you need to remember that about another person sometimes. Language and words matter, as God and Christ showed us. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word became flesh. Being around people with a positive attitude and asking them how they think about things can be helpful. And treating yourself to things. And so that's, I think, just a few ways to start if we want it. Read some Psalms or let that British guy on the Bible app read them to you. I don't know if you guys listen to that app. I listen to it. Now, life is not about individual happiness, but we need some of it to function. We need it to be light and salt for the earth and to share and witness the good news of God. James Trent is a writer and an inmate at Stateville Correctional Facility, a maximum security prison. Just about 45 minutes from here. For some reason, I thought it was so far, but it's not. It's kind of towards Joliet. On NPR's program, Written Inside, you can hear his story of a visitor in his cell. He didn't know what it was at first, but he saw a movement at the back of his cell when he was waiting to get in after a long day of landscaping labor. But it was behind the metal bunk bed, and he couldn't see what it was. And he got in, and he looked behind the bed and saw that it was a bird, maybe a wren. And so when this bird saw this 6'7", 290-pound man, it hopped funnily under the bed between his boxes of personal items. When he tried to reach for it, it flew to the bars. This is an old prison. They still have bars in that prison. And he could admire its bright yellow beak and its brown plumage. And he said even the brown plumage looked colorful and vibrant amongst the gray of the prison walls. And so as it looked around to see where it might fly, next, he tried to kind of shoo it towards the exit, towards the door, but it went the other way, towards the cell houses. And so he wrote this piece and shared this piece, saying that even 10 years later, It makes him smile when he thinks about it, and it brings him joy to remember it. See, the Lord didn't forget about James, locked up in the exile of his prison. And so I think that if God can bring this moment of pure joy and hope to a prisoner who may never get out, a prisoner who has done terrible wrongs, but has experienced also terrible suffering, if God can send a little bird across the floods and into a maximum security prison, surely we can bother to look around and see what God is doing here and tend fondly to our hope and anticipation of what God is going to do. Sometimes a good memory comes back to me and I start to feel bad. I wasted so much time on the poor one. I hate to think that. I want to practice gratitude, but rather than regretting that, maybe I should just sit in the good memory. So this message today is a message of belief in joyous outpouring after a time of sorrow and struggle. The scripture says that people might suffer through the night, but joy comes in the morning. This is a message of expectation and hope that though the return from exile is not complete, it's on the way. And if we can look to the east, we can see the people gathering that even though they were taken by enemies, God will redeem and return what was taken and set right the situation. And all of creation shall provide shelter for the children of God. All things work together for those that love the Lord. This is a prophecy of good news. There is an expectation of righteousness from the people. There's an expectation for them to arrive. And so even if things don't seem to be going well, you can prophesy this kind of goodness into your life, into all of our lives. See, because when we are children of God and we walk in obedience and righteousness, then we can thrive no matter what our current circumstances. This scripture says that as a faithful people, we are splendorous, not just good enough, but brilliant. And so I'm going to need all of us to prophesy good news over our life and into this world. Yes, good news for your life. Whatever is good, whatever is holy, whatever is peace in your life, God will make a level plane for you to walk on. God will lead you with joy. And this is good news for all of creation. And so we are all going to be saying joy to the world. The Lord is come.
Our responsive song is in the blue hymnal number 182.